So we're going to do something I normally don't like to do. We're going to focus more today, kind of talking about the book as a whole and looking at genre a bit and some other pieces. But we will look at verse 1 a bunch. We'll look at lots of verses, but we will look at verse 1 a decent amount. So if you have your Bible in the pew, or you have your Bible that you've been given, you can use whatever. But turn to Acts, or if you're in, turn to the page 1 there. And would someone read Acts 1, verse 1? Who wants to read that? Debbie? All right. I'm going to need some help from all of you, or some people up front, kids. If anyone wants a pen, Lucy and others will pass them out to you. Raise your hand. If not, no, you don't get a pen. You can have a pen, but I'm inviting you to help me give out pens. If you need a pen, raise your hand, and Lucy and Isabella or anybody else can help pass out pens. If you need a pen, raise your hand. You got to stand up, and this is a movement exercise. Oh my, Kate's after it. These aren't our pens also, so I need them back. They're the centers. I took them from them from poor planning. So you can use this to take notes, to scratch in these things, all kinds of stuff as we go. All right, thank you. If you need one, come find Lucy or Kate. They'll give you another one. Huh? Is it right? Okay. All right, here we go. So a few decades ago, there was a group of sociologists, one of them being Robert Bella, and they wrote a book called Habits of the Heart. And Habits of the Heart, they were describing something that really has only been intensified in our day. And in their like more scientific, kind of like sociology language, they termed this phrase expressive individualism, okay? Expressive individualism. And it's the idea that the highest goal in life is to look inside yourself, discover who you really are. That's your highest goal. And then build your life around expressing that identity to the world. So, in other words, truth is inside of you, identity is up to you, and fulfillment comes from being your true self. This is expressive individualism that they coined this term. This is decades ago, okay? And at first, it really sounds freeing. It sounds empowering, but is it? And has it become that as actually in the decades after it was coined? None of these guys, any of these researchers are believers. But how has this worked out and how is it working out? Because if identity is something you have to create, then by definition, it's also very fragile because you have to maintain it. You have to prove it. You have to defend it. And if something threatens that, a failure of your own or someone else's, a criticism, a change of circumstance, everything then becomes unstable. And so instead of freedom, you would feel pressure. Instead of clarity, you would feel anxiety. Instead of like a deep sense of community, what happens, particularly in expressive individualism, is that there's an increasing alone You're increasingly more and more alone because relationships start to revolve around whether someone affirms the version of self you're trying to build. So if they're not in there, because it's fragile, you can't sustain being in that relationship or those relationships because you're having to navigate and maintain and hold actually the fragility of the thing that you're building. This is expressive individualism. You might say it feels like a maze, right? Because you're constantly trying to navigate and figure out your life, how to get through, or you bump into any situation. So what we'll see in Acts is that Jesus is not inviting you to figure out how to get to the good life, or you can get through that maze and make it to the, oh, now I've made it. No, Jesus is the good life. He is the key. It's him. It's not that you have to figure out and navigate it. It's Jesus himself. That is who he is. So today, as we start to do some groundwork in Acts, my prayer for us today, but as we go in this entire study, is that Jesus himself would open our hearts, our eyes, to what Jesus wants. And we would humbly, with open hands, receive that incredible truth that Jesus is alive, he is active, and he's so good. He's so good. So, Debbie read from Acts 1. And in the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So before we dive into who the heck is writing this, who the heck is Theophilus, which we'll get to at some point. I guess we'll jump real quick. We don't even know. No one knows. No scholar knows. They don't know who he is. You don't hear him again. Which is actually, you'll see a recurring point that really matters as we go through Acts. Really important. Jesus began to do. Jesus began, all that Jesus began to do. As Alan Thompson in his book, this is a great book. He's a great scholar about Acts and other things. But he says, Acts is not merely objective history to satisfy our curiosity about various events, nor is it prescriptive, meaning you read this, then that's what you have to do. So it's not everything I read in scripture is something I have to do, right? There are a lot of things and stories you read, you're probably shouldn't do that. And so it's not a prescriptive history, a story. It's not to say it isn't historical. So in my words now, we're not simply reading a textbook when we go to Acts. We're not reading to get some kind of good and moral lessons from history. God has put Acts in the scriptures to reveal truth of historical things that took place, but to show us that what Jesus has done and continues to do. And this is super important because Luke Acts, as you'll hear me describe that in a little bit, is a biblical narrative about Jesus. It's a biblical narrative, a biblical story about Jesus. It's a story about him, history unfolding, who he is. And so to go back to verse 1, another theologian, Daryl Bach, puts it this way. Saying all that Jesus began to do there in verse 1, you could say it another way and just say all that Jesus continues to do. All that Jesus continues to do. Meaning, at some level, the book of Acts is still being written today. It's still being written today. What do I mean by that? If you go to the very end of Acts, so turn there. If you have your Bible or you have the little Acts book I gave out, and you read the last two verses in chapter 28, it says this. He lived, this is Paul, 2 whole years at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And if you actually go back, I think it's in verse 20. Same chapter. If you go flip to verse 20, I told you it's a little bit. We're getting in it today, trying to like figure things out. It says, "For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain," Paul says. So Paul is in. He's chained. He's in jail. But we read in the last two verses that at his own expense, he, in these 2 years, as he's in this kind of house arrest, literally chained, he is proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And we are left with the cliffhanger. Like, the book ends? Like what happens? I'm just going to tease Mike for a second because it was so awesome. We're at like small group the other day, a guys group on Tuesday night, and Mike's sharing something about, oh gosh, and I have tea down here. Oh gosh, there's this thing we're talking in Acts, and he's like, I don't want to like ruin the rest of the story for you, you know, like I don't want you, you know, and it was just like he's excited about it, and there's like, oh, I want you to feel the cliffhanger, right? There is a cliffhanger. Because the book doesn't end. The story is continuing. What Jesus is doing doesn't stop because Acts comes to an end. Jesus is still going. The point is, in that, the cliffhanger, Jesus is active. He continues right now to do work. For example, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is not a church plant because, like, oh, wow, Lisa and I figured it out so much in the maze we were running that this is what was supposed to happen. Or some of you that are here aren't even here yet have come to know Jesus in ways that you never have. And you experience the freedom in Jesus for the first time. Or some of you have met Jesus in different ways that you have found healing or beauty and hope. Like, that wasn't like, oh, some maze to navigate. It's just because Jesus is continuing his work. Emmanuel exists because some people prayed, Jesus, do you want another church in Ann Arbor, and do you want us to be a part of it? And Jesus made it clear that he did. So you're literally living in an expression and an example of what Jesus is doing as a continuation as the book of Acts continues to be written. This is what's happening, and so it's so important to create this framework of how we will read Acts. Otherwise, we'll go to it and it'll be prescriptive. Well, why did they do that little thing? Why did they do this little thing? No. You got to take the framework and work from the framework to understand everything else in it. Right? Like, that's so important in how we just read things in general. So, here's also why it's really important, just practically for yourselves. Because your story's not over. Your individual story isn't done. where you feel and think, I am really hurting, or go back to the maze illustration, I'm stuck in the maze, or whatever it is, or I'm frustrated, or this has been very painful, and you think, well, it was really good for those people back then, or maybe that person. The book of Acts is telling you, no, that argument doesn't hold water, because Jesus is continuing to do work right now. That means the places that you want and need healing, he moves right now. He does things right now. That's beautiful. Because you may believe the truth or a lie that I bumped into a wall in the maze and I am done. It's over. Time's up. That's maze talking. That's not Jesus. The good news is a new kind of community is being built by Jesus that isn't contained in a maze. It's being freed to run because he is healing and changing you together. So let's do a little bit more spade work. You got to know that Acts, as we get into it in the future, Acts is actually Luke Acts. So Luke wrote the book of Acts. Now his name is not in it. Like, he didn't pen, I, Luke, wrote this book. But if you were to read like Acts 16:10, it says, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, talking about the writer, sought to go into Macedonia. Or Acts 20, verse 5, these went on ahead and were waiting for us, being the writer, at Troas, but we sailed through Philippi. There are multiple times that the author is saying, I am with Paul. And so we know, and there's all kinds of historical evidence that, like, it's Luke. Luke is the one, okay? Now, Luke is why it's Luke Acts, and there's another theologian, his name is Barclay, William Barclay. He makes this really important nugget. We don't have, like, they didn't have Google Docs back then, if you guys didn't know this. My wife would be like, I don't know how you function in life. You don't have a Google Doc, you probably can't exist. They wrote things on scrolls. Scrolls had a limited amount of space. So Luke was volume one. Scroll ended. And then next scroll comes and Acts is written. So that's why, like, when you read at the beginning of Luke and the beginning of Acts, it says, like, Acts says, my former book, Luke, like my former scroll, like it's a continuation. And so you actually read Acts with Luke. You will hear lots of references back to Luke. It's all connected. And so it's another important thing to know, like, that this is a continuing story. Oftentimes you might read it and be like, okay, well, this is, now that I've got Acts figured out, I can go on to another book and then I'll get that one down. No, that's not what's happening. It's an unfolding story in history. And oftentimes we'll see that Luke goes back into the Old Testament because it's a continuing story of God doing something, God moving. All of this, I know, and some of it may seem like, man, this is dry, Josh. I don't love this all the way myself sometimes. Like, I'm a very story person, but these are so important to frame how we think about everything. Is let the scriptures do the framing, not us. So, all right. Also, a little like important fact. If you take Luke Acts, it's a quarter almost of the New Testament. And you're like, oh, wow, that's a chunk. That's a serious portion given. So Luke then wrote a huge portion. So you're like, oh, I should probably pay attention. This is important. That's happening here. All right. We're going to now do some more spade work. We're going to do something that is tended to do is you're going to like, we're going to outline the book of Acts. And so there's a lot of ways to do this. And a lot of comment, like if you were to read commentaries, you'd be like, oh, everyone's a little bit different on it. Yeah, that's why there's a lot of different commentaries. They have a lot of differing thoughts. I'm indebted to this guy by the name of TJ Timms, who broke this down, and you'll see why. It becomes very evident as we go through. And a side point as we do this, like headings in the Bible, and also like anytime there's numbers, none of that was there for like 1,200 years. So those were added in, sometimes not even the right place. So if like, it doesn't mean that's from the original writing. Those got put in to try and categorize and help organize, and sometimes they get it wrong. That's not the scriptures, the title headings and the numbers, as you'll see when we break these down. So you could even cross that title heading out. You can feel free to do that. You're not sinning. You're not like, did I ruin this? No. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're not. So, all right, in your little books, here we go. Here's how we're going to break it down. And this is, again, TJ Timms helped shape this. Book, there's seven breaking points, or seven books in the book of Acts. The first is verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to Acts 2, verse 47. So you could, if you want, you don't have to, but you could see here, like I actually like drew a line underneath 47. If you see that, I drew a line under 47. I feel like I'm in a children's class right now. And then I wrote book 2 underneath that line. So where chapter 2 ends, I wrote a line and I put book 2. Underneath there, okay? Just showing you guys. Anna's like, this is kind of familiar to what I do on every school day. Anyone see that? Book 2? Yeah? Katie's like, I get it. Okay. Somebody read verse 47 for us. Who wants to read verse 47? Isaac's stretching. All right, Kyle, read it.
47.
Yeah.
Praising God.
Hear this, first break. And the Lord added to their number day by day and who were being saved. The Lord. This is going to be the repetition that you're going to pay attention to. The church begins with God's initiative. It is not our strategy. God's initiative. Okay, if you now go to Acts chapter 3, I'm over there, and then you go to verses, you could title book 1 as Foundations, if you want to do that. And if you need this afterwards from me, that's fine. So you could do book 1, Foundations. Book 2, it comes at, if you go from Acts 3:1, where we start there, where book 2 starts, and then it goes till Acts 6:7. Chapter 6, verse 7, as you see, it's kind of stopping not as a normal place. And you could then put a line under verse 7 and title it book 3. And that's the initial expansion.
Book 2 is the initial expansion, or book
Oh, sorry. Book two, like book one was like 1-1. Sorry, I didn't do that very clear. And then book two is starting at verse 3-1. And then book three is starting under like 6-7.
And you're saying book one we could call the foundation.
Yes.
Book two we could call
the church in Jerusalem. Sorry, yeah. They're super descriptive, Josh. Good job. The church in Jerusalem is book two. Yeah. Book three is the initial expansion. Who wants to read verse 7 for us? 6-7. I'm sorry, I keep saying it. I know. I know. Debbie, you got it?
Verse 7.
Correct.
And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith.
All right. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. God's initiative multiplies, growing greatly. Pattern continues. All right.
What's the name of book three?
Book three is the initial expansion.
Can you tell us how far it goes? It goes
to 9:31. So you could then go forward to 9:31, draw a line underneath 31. And underneath that line, you could write book four. Just so you know, if I was in your shoes, like, I'm glad a lot of you are writing. I wouldn't be writing, like, not a chance. I wouldn't be able to understand. Book four is titled Continued Expansion. Book four, that will be under verse 31, line, book four, Continued Expansion. Who wants to read 31 for us? Thank you, Sandra. And then, Verna, you get the next one. I'll give it to you.
9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied.
Hear that. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Again, the initiative is God. And pay attention also. We have now seen Father, Son Jesus, and Holy Spirit as this is being broken out. It's beautiful. We're letting the scriptures frame it, right? We're letting the scriptures give us the framework. Okay. That then can go out from 9:32, which is where we just are at, book four, to 12:24. Chapter 12, verse 24. You could put a line there underneath 24. And you could title this book five. And the title would be The Gentile Mission in Asia Minor. Great, Isaac. Which is like modern day Turkey. Here you go, bud. All right, Sandra, you want to read verse 24? Oh, sorry, Verna. Yeah. Verna's like, I don't even know where you're at. And again, the word of God increased and multiplied. The theme continues. So then we can go to 16:5. put a line under 16:5. This is book 6. And it can be titled The Gentile Mission, Part 2. The Gentile Mission, Part 2. That's under verse 5. I'll read verse 5 this time. Yeah, I can print this out. Yep. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. So again, faith in who? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. And they what? Increased daily. The church continues to grow and deepen because God is initiating it. And then that goes to 19, 20. That was the Gentile Mission, or the Gentile Mission Part 2. Yeah. And then it goes to 19:20, and you could put a line there. And that would then be Book 7, the last one, To the Ends of the Earth. That would be titled, To the Ends of the Earth. To the End. That one is Book 7, Acts 19, you start at 20 and put a line. So like Book 7 is 19:21 to the end. To the ends of the earth. And there, it says, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. The word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. You don't have to go here, but again, we've read this already, but at the end of Acts, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. How it ends. I know it's work, and getting into the word is work. Here's some of the points, quickly. Jesus is on the move. Jesus is on the move constantly. Why doesn't Christianity have a capital? Why don't we have like a global capital for Christianity? Because Jesus is our capital. Like Jesus is, and he's moving, he's expanding, right? You see it, this whole thing of Acts is he goes further, he's going more, he's doing that. And it happens in your lives too. Everything in the book of Acts, it all is framed up by what Jesus is doing, what he's done, and what he continues to do. And it's Jesus that, like, it comforts the Spirit. It's Jesus who changes lives. It's Jesus who initiates all of this. This is really, really important because it goes back to that whole maze thing. Like, is it just my life to get through the maze? You're like, that doesn't even make sense if I look at Acts. Because it's like, the story is Jesus. It's Jesus and what he's doing and is doing and changing in people. So if I go back to what Robert Bellis says in expressive individualism, and everything's about me creating my identity and my life in all of these ways, I am running a maze. But as you sit in the truth of God's word, you see that actually blows it up. It's the story of Jesus. It's a biblical narrative. So a little bit different today. I want you to hear why this matters is because right now in your life, as I've already said, he's continuing to work. It's his story. And it's the Acts of the Apostles, not because they're at the center of it. Again, we don't know who Theophilus is. We don't even know who he is, but he mattered. You matter too. The Acts of the Apostles did great things because God was moving in his initiative. Same thing with you. So as we go forward, and we'll, I promise, this won't be the same way we do it every time. I'm looking at all your faces like, this is a lot, Josh. I'm God's, this wasn't my first day. It frames it all up. It's really important. It's his story, what he's doing. Let's pray. Jesus, hard work today, but good work. Good digging into what your word says. We don't get to just pop in and say, what do I want? Can I get through the maze? No. Who are you? What are you doing? How did this get written? Where is it from? What's it doing? And the truth that we need to hear is the story that Jesus, you're moving now, right now, and you continue. And here at the table, we receive it. Here at the table, we get to come up and receive your grace because you went and broke bread, showing us the covenant is in you. Our forgiveness of sins is in you. Life is in you. So as we come together to take this meal, Lord, we surrender to you. And Lord, even though this was a lot, and this was hard work today, you never promised it was going to be easy. And actually what we'll find out more and more, oftentimes Paul's in jail. Expansion comes through suffering. It's suffering and then resurrection. So Lord, thank you that we get to taste your grace through your table right now. We pray this in your name. Amen.